Thanks for staying, and I hope you will be able to not only listen, but to make an active contribution here. We're very pleased to have Vera as one of our fellows this week and to feature her as a presenter in the Focus Seminar Series. Vera has been working with many prestigious universities, including Oxford University. She currently works in Liverpool. And the reason we have contacted her is because she has a leading role in designing the survey instruments together with Thomas Hannage and others, but particularly for this section on safety for journalists. It's Vera who pulled many of the most important strings. And we are delighted that Vera takes her time to come here, listen in on all of these presentations, and attempting to further develop the survey instrument, a survey instrument that will have a leading impact, I believe, on how we can measure on a global scale these issues in the future. So very much look forward, and I think I want to especially encourage all of you to contribute in the end with comments and discussions, because this is actually a good opportunity to actively contribute to the questionnaire.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm sorry that Thomas couldn't join me today. He had every intention to come, but due to unforeseen circumstances, he can't join us today. So in case you don't know what study I'm going to talk about, this is the World of Journalism study. As Oscar said, I'm on the Executive Committee of the World of Journalism Study. I'm the Regional Coordinator for Central and Eastern Europe. I chair the Working Group on Journalist Safety, and I'm the Principal Investigator for Bulgaria and a member of the Core Questionnaire Group. So I'm going to talk today about the study. The reason why we're focusing on risk in the next wave, the aims and scope of the study, our research questions, theoretical background, methodology, and then the safety, the draft safety questions. We didn't have any safety questions in the first and the second wave of the study. This is the first time we are introducing safety questions, and it will be important to get your feedback on the ones that we have drafted. The study will commence in January 2020, so we still have some time to change the questions. Okay, so why are we focusing on the risk and uncertainty? Well, we all know that journalists and news organizations are confronted, and we heard over the past few days lots of examples of that, with an unprecedented and multifaceted crisis. The World of Journalism Study is a collaborative effort. There were 20 countries involved in the first wave, 67 in the second wave, which we completed in the beginning of 2017. And now in the third wave, which will begin in 2020, there are over 110 countries, possibly a few more joining over the next few months. So it's a very, and a few of you are colleagues in the study, of course, or have worked with us. And we have been documenting these transformations since 2007. In the third wave, we are shifting the analytical focus to levels of risk and uncertainty journalists face around the world, as well as the ways in which they cope with these risks in the different socio-economic, cultural, and political contexts. And the major goal of the study is, of course, to compare journalism around the world and to obviously trace these developments over time, as well as explore the key factors that drive these cross-national differences. We know that there are lots of studies, of course, on journalism. We heard a few very interesting ones over today, especially, and over the past couple of days. But we feel that there are a range of shortcomings in the literature which we are kind of aiming to address in the third wave of the worlds of journalism study. So there are lots of studies focusing on particular aspects of journalism and risk, a lot of them around technology, but very few, and we heard that as well here, very few analyze these risks in a holistic way by accounting for the different factors and sources of risk and the way they interact with each other. And this is what we will be aiming to do in the third wave of the world of journalism study. There are also lots of studies that focus on objective parameters. We heard that one area that has been covered a lot is the number of killings of journalists, for example. But there are very few and barely any looking at journalists' perceptions, especially in as many countries as we are exploring. So journalists' perceptions of these risks and the consequences that they create. We also, one of the main benefits of our study is the ability to compare cross-nationally and to provide build a picture of the levels of risks and uncertainty on a global scale. What is new about the third wave of the study is that this time we are not going to look at professional journalists only, but we will attempt to capture the so-called peripheral journalists. We're still in the process of defining what we mean by peripheral journalists, but basically journalists working at the margins of journalism. So I'll come back to the methodology in a few minutes, but the aim would be to have in each country two samples, one of professional journalists and one of peripheral journalists. And especially when we talk about safety, it is very important to capture the perceptions and experience of peripheral journalists as well. And again, one of the shortcomings in the literature is that few studies trace levels of risk and uncertainty across different levels of possible impact from the individual level of journalists. We heard a lot of examples of that over the past few days, to news organizations, to the institution of journalism as such, which is very much the focus of our study, and obviously over different periods in time. So the aims and scope of the study are to, as already said, study levels and sources of risk journalists and news organizations face around the world, as well as their manifestations and consequences, to understand how journalists cope with and adapt to risk and uncertainty in the different contexts, to assess the state of journalism around the world, as I already mentioned, to compare journalists' perceptions of risk and uncertainty across societies and identify the key factors that drive cross-national differences, and to trace these changes over time by comparing with the evidence we have from the first and the second wave of the world of journalism study. We are aiming to build a strong and timely data infrastructure on journalist perceptions of risk and uncertainty, and to make our data set available for secondary analysis. This is what we did with the data set that we have from the second wave of the world of journalism study. I would say it's available on the website. The website, as Guy mentioned the other day, was hacked for the third time last week, I think. Was it last week or the week before? So not much is available on the website currently, but it will become available again. It didn't last long, to be honest. The last hacking attack was only a few months ago, and then they managed to recover the website, and now it was hacked again. But never mind, we make available the data set, and we'll do that again. And obviously, it is a very big collaborative project, and we are really interested in fostering international collaboration and knowledge exchange in the area of journalists' perceptions of risk and uncertainty in the field of journalism studies more generally, and create a network of researchers that work together to address some of these challenges theoretically, methodologically. And we, in the third wave, we haven't been very active in that respect in the first and second wave, but with the third wave, we're much keener to engage practitioners, policymakers, and other stakeholders in the process. So the safety questions I've discussed with Guy multiple times, he's probably sick of hearing about our safety questions, but it has been very useful to hear the perspective of UNESCO and NGOs as well, and to what is useful from their perspective as well. Okay, so what are the research questions? We have five research questions. The first one is, how do journalists perceive levels of and sources of risk and uncertainty? The second one is, how do they cope with and adapt to risk and uncertainty in different political, socio-economic, and cultural contexts? The third one is, how do they conceive of and deal with risk and uncertainty? The fourth one is, what are the key factors that drive transnational differences? And the fifth one is, how have these perceptions changed over time? So what is the theoretical background? There are two main premises that the study is built upon. The first one is that journalism is a discursive institution. So what does this mean? We see journalism as an institution that is discursively negotiated and recreated. As an institution, journalism performs a very important key role in society. But as an institution, journalism is made up of structures that are both limiting and enabling, as well as constraining and constitutive. So we talk and we study the formal and informal rules, conventions, practices, etc. Obviously, journalism is not a fixed entity. It is a discursive, and it is subject to constant negotiation and recreation, whereby journalists themselves retain definitional control over what they consider to be legitimate practice. And that's why the focus, obviously, in the survey is on journalists' own views. And we also see journalists as obviously flexible, responding to different changes through processes of coping and adaptation on both the material and the discursive levels. And as I already said, we are taking a much more active interest in peripheral journalists in the third wave of the study, because the expectation is that they can more easily adapt and respond to some of the changes in the journalism environment. The second main premise is that journalists and journalism is at a time of unprecedented risk and uncertainty. And the way we conceptualize a risk is as an array of existential threats to the viability and sustainability of journalism as an institution, which makes a meaningful and vital contribution to social life. And we look at risks as coming from four main sources. So we start by looking at political risks, and we heard lots of examples of that over the past few days: hostile political environments, political influence, a general trend towards declining press freedom, lots of examples of attacks on journalists. But this is just one aspect of risks. We also consider economic risks, and again, they range from country to country. But I'm sure you are all familiar with some of the main trends in relation to the rise of platform companies. Again, we heard a lot about that over the past few days. Basically, precarity of employment, failing business models, especially in the West, etc. And we also, again, we heard a lot about that. We look at technology-related risks. Again, I'm not going to repeat all of that because we heard a lot about the rise of disinformation, bots, algorithms, automation, etc. And we also look at, again, something that kept recurring in the conversations over the past few days, cultural risks, the rise of hate groups, discrimination, harassment, particularly, as we heard earlier today, of women and minority journalists, and the general trend towards the erosion of media trust. So in these survey, we are trying with the questions, and of course I won't have the time to show you all the questions, but we are trying to capture all these sources of risks by looking at the different manifestations of threats coming from these risks, and basically trying to find out what journalists' perceptions of these threats and experiences of these threats are. So for the first time, for example, we will have a media freedom question. We will ask journalists about their perception of the degree of news media freedom in their country, which is not a question we had before. I'll show you the detailed safety question, which includes some of these threats, different assaults on journalists, spread of disinformation, delegitimation of news. We also have, for the first time, precarity questions as well, trying to see what journalists' experience of that is. Of the declining labor conditions. We also have a whole new battery of technology questions looking at the impact of robot journalism, for example, automated journalism, social media. So I'll show you some of the safety questions. As I said, I won't be able to show you all the other questions, but just to give you an indication of the holistic approach that we are trying to adopt in the study. And we measure perceptions of risk as well by having the work packages that we originally had in terms of influences on journalism, autonomy. We now have not just internal but external autonomy. Our journalistic roles, we haven't changed that much, but we have new work packages on epistemologies, safety and conditions of labor, in addition to the ones that we had before. The ethics ones, we did quite a few changes to these questions as well. Right, so the methodology the methodology consists not just of the survey, but also of a structural module. The idea with the structural module is to collect data on the structure of the media system. In Munich, where the World Journalism Studies Center is based, they will be compiling a data set with information about each country's media system, the structural parameters of the population of journalists, and the opportunity structures within which journalism operates. And the center will collate and build that database with the contextual information, which is very important. And obviously the questionnaire we compile in English, but it's translated in lots of different languages. Again, we have to ensure functional equivalence. So we have to be, in order to be able to achieve our aims, we have to ensure that we are all singing from the same hymn sheet, and we are all using the same definitions, and this is very much work in progress, so I'm not going to dwell on that at all, how we define who a journalist is and what a news outlet is. This is still work in progress. So in addition to the structural module, we have the survey module. We conduct representative surveys with journalists. We follow a very strict procedure when designing the sample. Basically, the ideal in the third wave is, as I already said, that each country will have two samples, a main sample of professional journalists, where the minimum sample size is based on a confidence level of 95% with a 5% sampling error, and the secondary sample will be of peripheral journalists, but it won't be compulsory, so each country would get to decide whether they want to have a sample of peripheral journalists. And the idea is that each country, after finding out what the population of journalists is, constructs its a sample, a national target sample, and then it goes through a random or systematic sampling of editorial organizations and journalists within these editorial organizations. So it's a very kind of strict methodology that we follow. The way we collect data, again, varies from country to country. In the last wave, we had 27,500 journalists taking part in the survey. Some were online questionnaires, online surveys, some were face-to-face, some were telephone surveys. Depends. In some countries, it's not possible to conduct an online survey, even a telephone one, so that depends on the national teams. And the third wave, as I said, the data collection starts on the 1st of January next year. The center in Munich play an instrumental role in screening for non-response error. There were a few countries that were excluded from the previous wave because they didn't follow the procedures. And they, again, I don't want to bore you with that, but there is very clear documentation and field manual on every single aspect of the methodological work. Then we have the analysis, of course. Again, I'm not going to go through that because I want to get to the safety part more quickly. But if you're interested, I can send you the presentation. It is important, as I already said, that we try to disseminate the findings and the data set very widely, and anyone after a certain period of embargo can use our data and analyze it. which is very useful. I think we are a generally democratic network. We called annual meetings. We have working groups on the different packages. Anyone can join any of the working groups and contribute to their development. And although we have a core questionnaire group, the questionnaire will then go out to all members for their input. And this is how it works at every stage in the process. So the work packages that we have are on influences on journalism, editorial autonomy, journalistic roles. We have a new one on journalistic epistemologies, professional ethics, and a new one on safety, which I'm going to talk about now, and a new one on conditions of labor. So safety. As I already mentioned, we didn't have any safety questions in the first two waves. We all know that safety is of growing concern in both the global north and the global south. From our perspective, it's very important to remember that compromised safety leads to compromised autonomy, and it inevitably affects journalists' ability to play the roles that they feel should be playing in their societies and to basically serve their societies. And for us, it is important to not look at safety in isolation, but to look at safety in relation to journalistic autonomy roles and performance as well. There are no cross-national studies, systematic studies on journalist safety, and we already heard about the Sustainable Development Goals and the potential usefulness of our data for UNESCO and other organizations. We conceptualize safety as three-dimensional. So we see safety as comprising of physical safety. We heard a lot about physical safety over the past few days. Psychological, emotional safety, but also occupational safety is the third dimension. We do not have digital safety as a separate dimension because we don't feel it's a conceptual dimension. As we heard again over the past few days, we cannot isolate digital safety from the other aspects of safety, so it has to be part and parcel of the three dimensions that we elaborate upon. So we see threats as actions and conditions that increase the risk of physical, psychological, and occupational harm to journalists, both as human beings and as institutional actors. And we see threats as being either direct threats from individuals or groups, or indirect threats from structures of oppression of varying nature in the different contexts, of course. And the reason we heard a lot about physical and psychological safety, that's why I'm going to mention a bit about occupational safety and why we have that as a dimension in our definition. So threats often lead to occupational stress, and we use the World Health Organization's definition of stress, which we feel is very useful, especially in the context of journalism. The World Health Organization defines stress as the response people may have when presented with work demands and pressures that are not matched to their knowledge and abilities and which challenge their ability to cope. And they say that stress is often made worse when employees feel they have little support from supervisors and colleagues, as well as little control over work process. And what we are aiming to do in the next wave of the World of Journalism study is to capture journalists' experience of stress So we have a new stress question added to the questionnaire, but to also link that with all the factors that they talk about in the definition. So they talk about knowledge and abilities, and we will be looking at what measures journalists have taken to protect themselves. They are also talking about stress being made worse when employees feel they have little support from supervisors and colleagues. So we would also be asking journalists about the support they have received after they have experienced whatever threat they have experienced. And then they say that this also means that they might have little control over work process, and we have the autonomy questions as well to link to the question, the safety and the stress questions. Another key concept for us is that of resilience, being the result of successful coping strategies, bouncing back, or a process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats or significant sources of stress. And again, we have tried to build that into the study in an attempt to measure journalists' resilience. I have kind of tried to come up with a graph summarizing our main focus here. So we will be, and I'll show you how this is going to work with the questions in a minute, but we will be asking journalists for their experience of a range of different threats, which then in turn compromise their safety and well-being, and there is a question asking about that as well. And we will also ask about what coping strategies and resources they have at their disposal or they have used. And we will then correlate these questions with the questions we have on autonomy, both internal autonomy, the freedom that they have in deciding what stories to run and how to structure them, and also external autonomy, the perception of press freedom that they have of their country or their region in some countries. And then we'll correlate with their role perceptions as well. And this is our attempt to come up at a holistic approach of studying safety in relation also to autonomy, role perceptions, role performance. So let me just show you the questions. This is not a safety question. This is the new question on press freedom that we have as a mandatory question. In your view, how much freedom do the news media have in your country? And it's a 5-point scale question, from complete freedom to no freedom at all. In some countries, there will be an additional question asking about how much freedom they have in the region that they live, because especially some of the Latin American colleagues say that there are significant regional differences that are important to be captured. And then this is the main safety question. This is page one. There is page two. And I would like to ask you to have a very careful look at it to see whether there is anything that we have missed or not phrased in the best possible way. So what we are asking is, in the last 5 years, how often have you experienced any of the following actions related to your work as a journalist? And again, we have a frequency scale from very often to never. So we have demeaning or hateful speech directed at you, public discrediting of your work, questioning of your personal morality, others using your byline for fabricated or manipulated stories, others disseminating your personal information, surveillance, hacking or blocking of social media accounts or websites, arrests, detentions or imprisonment, abductions will be an optional one because some colleagues feel it won't be applicable in every country. And the list goes on. So we have office raids or seizures or damage to equipment, again, as an optional one. Legal actions against you because of your work, coercion or extortion, intimidation or threats directed at you, intimidation or threats directed at your family, stalking, sexual assault or sexual harassment, workplace bullying, non-sexual physical attacks, and then there is the other category in case we've missed anything. One issue we have identified that some of the categories might be seen as overlapping, particularly the intimidation or threats one with some of the others, because some of the other actions that we described might be seen as intimidation. But for now, we have left it like that. So if you have any suggestions later on, if there is anything that you cannot see on this list, of course, we cannot, as Thomas keeps saying, this is not a safety study. Safety is just one aspect of it. We cannot capture everything, but at least the main trends and threats, if possible. And then we have this question, which is a question about support. When you experienced to any extent these actions, did you receive support from any of the following sources? There were a few colleagues saying that journalists might not understand what we mean by support. That's why in brackets I added examples of support. And then we have a few potential sources of support. Your news organization, other colleagues, a journalist organization, non-governmental or human rights organizations, government authorities. Okay. And then this is the question which is linked to our conceptual definition of safety. So we ask journalists thinking about your work, as well as we've tried here to include an impunity item as well. So thinking about your work, please tell me how strongly you agree or disagree with the following statements. The first one is about precarity. I'm worried about losing my job in journalism within the next 12 months. Then I'm concerned about my physical well-being. I'm concerned about my emotional or psychological well-being. And the final one is about impunity. I'm concerned that those who harm journalists often go unpunished. The next one that we have in this order for now is the stress question, which doesn't, of course, relate only to safety. It relates to a lot of other factors, but it can easily be correlated with safety. How often have you experienced stress in your work as a journalist in the past 12 months? And we keep, you may have noticed, saying in the survey, especially in this wave, worked as a journalist, because a lot of journalists work as something else as well to make ends meet. And it's important that when they answer these questions, they focus on their work as journalists. And then this is our question about measures to protect themselves. Again, a very long list there. In the last 5 years, have you engaged in any of the following measures to protect yourself? And we start with safety training and the use of safety equipment and protocols, and moving on to sought government protection, sought legal protection. Engaged in self-censorship is another one that we have. Changed news beats or jobs, changed your news organization, changed your personal and daily routines, moved to another place within your country or to another country. And then a few more. It's a very long list again. it wasn't easy to persuade colleagues to ask so many questions with such long lists. So limited time spent in dangerous reporting areas, removed or hidden your press IDs. There's another one that I removed, but I'll probably add using social media to counter or prevent censorship attempts, which we will probably rephrase. And I mean, you can see the other few. It's again a very long list, but if there is anything you feel that shouldn't be on this list or should be added to the list, just let me know. And that's it from me. Thank you very much.